My name is Mike Elgin, and this is my Food and Technology Podcast number 22. My guest this week is wearables entrepreneur Dylan Rose. Here comes the FatCast. Dylan Rose is kickstarting a new kind of wearable. It's a virtual assistant appliance called Kai that clips onto any glasses and transmits audio through bone conduction. It's a brilliant concept, but here's the best part. Dylan is still in high school. Here's my conversation with Dylan Rose. What is Kai exactly?
So Kai is a wearable device that you can add on to any pair of glasses, and it has a silicone skin on it. So that enables glasses to slip right through, kind of like a belt loop. And then the silicone skin, it also helps Kai rest right behind your ear. And from there, you have bone conduction speakers, which basically vibrate the bones, and it transmits audio through essentially using your bones, and that creates private audio. And so once you have the device on, it connects to our software package on the phone, and this is powered by Houndify, and you've got a virtual assistant. You basically have a virtual assistant sitting right behind your ear 24/7 right on your glasses. The virtual assistant powered by Houndify features calling, texting, notification readout, reminders, calendar updates. You can call an Uber, you can search things, you can do local search with Yelp. And it's a platform just like most voice assistants that's ever growing. So as voice assistants start to catch on and developers start to build a community around voice interfaces, we're only going to see newer features. So that's the Houndify platform. Now, where we're implementing our own software, and this is taking it just a step further, is we have two major features right now that we're developing, which is AI profiles, we call them. And essentially that's, you know, if you're at work, and you want to put the phone away, you don't want any distractions, because, you know, inevitably, even if you have prioritized notifications, you're going to look at your phone, you're going to get distracted, and you're going to waste some time. So ultimately, what we want with profiles is to do that prioritization when you're at work, so you're only getting notifications from certain cues and certain contexts, and you can leave Kai on, put the screen away, and it's a really efficient way to get more work done and to stay focused on the task at hand while still being connected.
Okay, so you've touched on a lot of the features. Now, I just want to go through some of these in a little bit more detail. So the silicone case, as I understand it, you thread your glasses through. You have multiple choices in terms of how big the holes are, right? So if you have really skinny glasses, you can deal with that, or sort of fatter ones, and it just threads through. So this is essentially it's the equivalent of like a Bluetooth earpiece to your phone, but it is through bone conduction. Is that fair to say, or is that not exactly what it is?
That's exactly what it is. So we're utilizing, and the reason why we're able to do this, one, at a lower cost, you know, than other smart glasses manufacturing, and two, you know, without much, I would say, upfront, you know, huge development costs, is because we're not focused on building, you know, the tiniest chips with the highest processing power that traditional smart glasses manufacturers are looking for. We're using and we're leveraging Bluetooth technologies that already exist to give it great battery life, great audio connection, and essentially use parts that have already been used before. We're repurposing, you know, what a Bluetooth earpiece is.
And you're using the Houndify platform. Can you tell me what advantages you think Houndify might have over something like Siri or Google Assistant?
So from a partnership perspective, you know, and ultimately the reason why I decided with them over Amazon Alexa, which is a very popular voice assistant, is the fact that they are a smaller, more centralized unit. So, you know, their SoundHound, they have great sound recognition software, but, you know, they're coming in now, and they actually just did a pretty large round, $75 million. Samsung was in that, and they're really putting a lot of efforts toward this with a small experienced team. So I like their focus. From a feature standpoint, you know, they're really quick. They definitely have one of the quicker response times. You know, and as you see Siri, Google, and Alexa, they're definitely coming there too. But I think right now Houndify is incredibly quick with what they can do. And then on top of all that, you know, their developer platform is really fantastic. It gives you a lot to work with. It gives you a lot of customization. And quite frankly, I don't know if the product would be half of what it is without it, because I wouldn't be able to implement a lot of features and a lot of functionality that you know, Amazon couldn't do for me.
You know, just to give listeners my own view on audio-only smart glasses. I think that this is the sort of killer feature that's going to make smart glasses inevitable no matter what, because what people want is they want to be able to talk to their virtual assistant all day, every day, all the time. But if you can't, there's no scenario other than bone conduction that enables you to you know, nobody is going to wear earbuds in their ears every waking minute of the day. And there are no earbuds that have the battery life for that. And nobody wants to have cables connected to a smartphone. So you're left with the only way to have your virtual assistant available to you 24/7, no matter where you go, is bone conduction. And the best place to put that is on glasses. And I'm sure you agree with that.
Absolutely, Mike. And I'm really glad you brought that up. I'm really glad you said that. The number one, far and away, I would say, objection that I get, you know, people are interested, they like it, but they say, you know, why isn't it in an earbud? And I say to them, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. I think glasses, like you're saying too, it's a great form factor. There's, you know, a lot, there's a large market with glasses, but exactly that, you wear glasses all day. People who wear glasses usually wear them all day. You don't wear earbuds all day. It's dangerous in some scenarios. And, you know, quite frankly, it doesn't have that same style element. You know, I'm proud to say that Kai is a device that hopefully will not be seen by people, you know, and of course I have pride in the design. I spent a lot of time making sure the design was visually appealing. But at the same time, the whole point, you know, and we saw this with Google Glass and even still with like Vuzix, you know, people aren't going to put something on their face that turns heads. Like it's just, it's impossible. It makes you insecure and self-conscious about the product. And, you know, so ultimately you're getting at it, you're hitting the nail on the head, is that you need something that people can wear all day in order for virtual assistants to really flourish and for them to not just, you know, not just flourish, but be useful, be a part of our everyday lives. And once you have glasses wearers, you know, saying, okay, this is great, my glasses are connected, we're going to see virtual assistants going into all types of daily activities. But personally, and Glimpse is really focusing on making sure that there's a good community of people, you know, similar to the Google Glass community, but I think this will really tailor to a wider audience. Who understand the importance of virtual assistants and are willing to bring something like that into their daily life. I mean, it is a personal thing. It's, you're talking to something, you're trusting a device.
Yeah. You know, I think it's hilarious that the tech press really slammed Google Glass hard and seemed to have a love affair with Snap's spectacles, which are obviously look ridiculous to me. And I just don't see anything that looks like that going anywhere. Your idea is actually kind of interesting. It's extremely interesting because you're essentially clipping on to glasses with a unit. And I could imagine, I know you're, I'm sure, heads down focused on the current product entirely, but you could imagine add-ons to your glasses in multiple varieties. If you were able to develop a camera in the future, that could also clip onto the glasses. You could imagine clipping on another unit on the other side of the glasses for stereo bone conduction. The idea of having clip-on things is incredibly flexible, and the best part is the user wouldn't need to use any given one. They could use any or all or either or whatever. And so this sort of modular approach is something I've never heard anybody talk about. I haven't heard you talk about it either. I've talked about it, but I don't hear people talking about the idea of modularity, which is really possible when you're clipping things onto glasses.
Well, and absolutely. The silicone skin, I think, that is, from a hardware perspective, from what we're doing with the device itself, that is the key innovation that we've created. So, you know, as I was designing this, and even some press brought it up as well, I mean, the silicone skin doesn't have to stay, you know, in that clip on the glasses like you're talking about. I mean, you could have a silicone skin with different attachments, you know, put it almost anywhere on your body. And again, like you're saying, with the bone conduction, it keeps it private. It keeps it discreet. And, you know, I've even thought about, having Kai be able to come out of that silicone skin and plug into a speaker, you know, and these things are all possible because you have your, exactly what you're talking about. It's a modular approach. The device itself won't just, you know, stay on your glasses. You need the silicone skin, you know, but then without it, there's tons of possibilities. And you know, I'm definitely open to not just me developing these types of things, but leaving it open to the community to say, hey, what can we get done with this device that ultimately is a key to a voice interface, you know, wherever, whenever we need it, privately and discreetly.
For users who don't have glasses, you'll provide them, right?
Yeah. So we are shipping with clear frames on Kickstarter.
That's awesome. Just like Hollywood. So what's the battery life? I mean, one of the advantages of bone conduction over Bluetooth earbuds is theoretically is battery life. How's your battery life going to be?
It's solid. So we're really aiming to use Bluetooth low energy. We've used a lot of pre-made chips that use Bluetooth low energy and have seen some good indicators that it's going to be great for a full-fledged market product. And if we can use Bluetooth low energy, you know, it says it itself. When you're not using it, it's hardly eating up battery. And so, you know, roughly, and you've seen headphones that can get 5 to 6 hours of stream time. So, you know, on a headphone, 5 to 6 hours is solid. Realistically, you're not listening to music all day, every day. But, you know, think about these interactions that you're going to have with Kai. 20 to 30 seconds at most, you know, and you have 6 hours of those 20 to 30 second interactions. It'll last all day. You know, and that's what, you know, you don't wear your glasses to sleep. So, you know, at the end of the day, throw it in the charger, you're good for the next day. You know, it's an all day thing in it. And I believe it can even expand, you know, when it is in a frame form function, when I am able to develop frames, you know, with bone conduction, similar to actually what Vue is doing. But I think our software is a lot better, but you know, I'd like to expand that battery life. So charging is really not an every night occurrence.
Yeah, I talked to the Vue team as well. That's a previous episode, and anyone listening wants to check that out, you can just go check that out. Now, you're kickstarting this. How's your campaign going?
It's going well. You know, so we're at right about 14,000 after about a week. So it's been a week, which is solid. And you know, Kickstarter, it's a pretty wild ride. Sometimes you'll go out there and it'll catch and it'll get funded in the first 3 days. And then you're kind of just sitting on a wave. You know, with us, it got off to a solid start and it's definitely, you know, pulling in some attention. You know, the thing with Kai, I think, we did a great job of getting the vision onto a Kickstarter and Kickstarter is the perfect community for people like this. But you know, for it to hit kind of that mainstream and for it to tip, I would say, I think it, you know, it's got to be something that you see, you can use, you can interact with. And so Kickstarter is a great way for us to find those people who are willing to take that leap. They're willing to wear it around. They're willing to advocate for our product. And they're willing to, again, you know, make that tip happen. So, you know, it's a great way to get this product off. And I'm optimistic that we're going to be able to fund and we're going to be able to move forward and ship this product.
Speaking of optimism, when do you expect to ship?
We're looking to ship in late August. So, you know, that's a tight goal, though. And it is going to depend on the money situation. But, you know, if it's around that time and we can really come into 2018 strong and start expanding our product line as well.
Now, what's your team look like or your company? You have a company. Is there who else is involved in this?
So right now, just me on the team. I am hoping that, you know, throughout the next year or so, I'll be able to at least contract some people to do this work. But, you know, for the next few months at least, it's going to be just me as well. I actually am currently a senior in high school, and I haven't really found anyone who, you know, I feel like would be have the passion, have the enthusiasm, have the know-how to really jump on and provide some great assistance to the team. So, you know, I'm going to college next year and I know, and you know, once I get to college, there's so many people, so much resources, and from there I can really help to build on this team and really, you know, build a company around the products and around Glimpse.
Wow, that's amazing that you're still in high school. Where do you go to school and what do you intend to major in college?
So I go to a school in a north suburb of Chicago called Glenbrook North. Really awesome school, great opportunities. I have been kind of split between business and engineering. So, you know, I'm looking to go either West Coast, maybe down to Texas, some big tech bubbles. And I know whether I am in business or engineering, I know I'm going to be able to not only learn about both simultaneously, but find people and work with people from all disciplines. And so that's what I'm really looking forward to in college.
And what do you envision? I know it's still early for this project and so on, but what would be your ideal situation in like 6 or 7 years? You've graduated from college. You're out of school 2 or 3 years. What do you see would be the ideal scenario for you personally? Would you be eventually go to Silicon Valley? Would you start to be a serial entrepreneur? What do you imagine for your future?
So right now I'm just focused on learning, on getting my feet wet, getting my hands dirty, and you know, making a big splash into the world of entrepreneurship, the world of tech. You know, I'd like to still be working on this project. I have so many ideas for product lines that, you know, it would be great to just go through Glimpse as a brand. And we have this brand, and it's our motto, you know, we want you to look up at the world, not down at a screen. So that leaves a lot of products to be made, to be developed, to help you, in fact, look up at the world, not down at a screen, to help you stay connected during your activities while not getting distracted. So, you know, that is something that I envision happening if, you know, if we're able to take this to the next step and really get a snowball going. I think virtual assistants are catching a huge wave right now. And if we can capitalize on that and we can bring meaningful uses of virtual assistants into people's lives, it can have a great impact for the better, you know, reducing these smartphone distractions, increasing the connectedness, but also maintaining our sense of humanity, our sense of connection to our surroundings and to the people around us.
Are you do you believe that this idea is patentable, and are you going to pursue a patent?
So we have a provisional patent on the silicone skin. You know, that again is very proprietary for us, and I do plan on pursuing a full patent for that. I'd look into design patents, but like we discussed earlier, at the end of the day, it is a Bluetooth device. And I believe we are protected in that, you know, the combination of features and the way we're building our software and the partnerships we've leveraged with SoundHound, Houndify, there is a lot of protection there. And it's, you know, it's not an easy replicatable product. You know, you could try and go and find different angles to design it, to attach it to glasses, but while we're protected on what I believe is the best way to attach to glasses, and we're protected on our software and because of the features coming together and because of, again, you know, that partnership that we've been able to leverage.
I would reconsider that. I think it's possible if somebody hasn't already patented the general idea of a clip-on virtual assistant appliance like this, regardless of how it's affixed. Then that could potentially be a patentable thing, and that could potentially be your entire business. If you're right, and this is the way to go, this is like a fantastic, great way to go, which I think it is, then some company in Silicon Valley is just going to do it. No one will have ever heard of you or your company. I would patent this if you can, because what that means is then you're at the table. You would have to be acquired, or you would have to be negotiated with, or you have to receive lifelong licensing fees or something. I would look into that. Now, it's possible, and you know companies like Google and Apple and Microsoft and others just patent things left and right, and it's very, and they tend to be super broad. The patent system in the U.S. is a mess, and you can patent anything. You can patent the idea of, you know, of getting up in the morning and drinking a cup of coffee, and so if it hasn't been patented already, somebody will patent it soon, just because they can.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that as well. Again, unfortunately, with the cash situation right now, yeah. I'm only able to get a provisional, but you know, I'd look into expanding provisional applications and even, you know, looking at a legal team. And again, this is why I'm happy I have this experience pre college, because now when I do get to college, I'll be really able to appreciate all the resources. And I think a lot of colleges, especially the ones I'm looking at, they have access to these resources about legal. And I've seen so many colleges that talk about, you know, covering patents and that type of stuff, because they want to protect their students. And so being part of that type of community is something, again, that I'm really looking forward to. And again, like you're talking about a patent, I think it'd be great to not just, you know, have my own team of lawyers with patenting, but having a school behind and saying, you know, look, you're our student. We want to protect you. We want to help you out.
Yeah, you may not have that much time. you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Because this is a fast-moving area. I would find a patent lawyer who specializes in patents. Give him a call. Just have a chat. That'll be free, and then figure that out. You never know. You may just be buried in cash from this Kickstarter. I think it's a great idea. You're already getting some good press, and you should hold out the idea of radical success, because it very well could happen.
Okay. Well, I thank you a lot, and I really appreciate kind of the pressing on the patent. You're making me plan to want to have that call as soon as possible.
Good. I've been covering Silicon Valley for a couple of decades, and it is a rough business, and people will take any idea they can from whomever they can. And unless you're covered legally, you don't have a prayer. So good luck with that. And on that cheery note, I want to wish you a lot of luck on this. I really love the idea. I really, really think you're definitely on the right path. And you've got something that Apple and Google and Amazon and Microsoft don't have, which is the best way to deliver personal assistant hardware wise. So congratulations on that, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Well, thank you. That really does mean a lot, Mike, and I appreciate you having me on today and going through some of the stuff. I always love the opportunity to speak with people and like-minded individuals who really see a future for not only this product but virtual assistants, because, you know, personally and the company and I believe this is that, you know, speaking and voice engagements and discrete wearables are the way of the future, and they're going to help us stay connected and you know, have a really seamless interaction with technology.
Wonderful. Thank you again for coming on the FatCast, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Yep. Thanks, Mike.
I'd love to hear from you. Email your ideas and feedback to mike@elgin.com. Thanks for listening to my food and technology podcast, and don't forget to share it with your friends. My name is Mike Elgin. There goes the FatCast.